This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. I'm Roshan Kanesan, and this is The Morning Run. Welcome back to BFM 89.9. Joining me in the studio this morning, Noel Lim and Koo Soo Chuang. Before we get into the formalities, that is The Morning Run. How are the two of you doing?
Very excited, of course. Midday week.
You almost said that with a straight face, Noel.
Yes, I do believe it.
What about you, Chuang?
Three pieces of toast, two white, one brown, jam, strawberry.
Yes. This is the perpetual struggle at 5:30 a.m.
That's
in the morning.
Right.
Koo Soo Chuang looking at the newsroom and saying, who wants bread? I'm going to make peanut butter sandwiches. Who wants... today I want jam, lah. Huh? Who wants to join me? Who wants it? And he will not make the bread unless someone joins him.
Yeah, because, you know, carrying is sharing and sharing is caring. You want to make for your friends and your colleagues. Because if you can't make for them, who can you make them for?
Your wife, your children.
This is just Koo Soo Chuang being caring. He's just making sure that everyone is well fed before we start the day at 6 a.m. And speaking about starting the day at 6 a.m., let's talk about the next hour. So this is the 6 a.m. stretch, the lighter side of The Morning Run. What do we have going on, Noel? I think you've been tasked with 6:30 onwards.
Yes, yeah. So looking at the international news, I'll be covering Straits Times online as well as looking at some news coming in from Bloomberg. I think Fauci wants early reopening could set the U.S. back. And also some news on the COVID-19 from Singapore.
Right, and Koo Soo Chuang, I see you nicely going through all the papers there, circling things up.
That's right.
What do you have for us at 6:45?
Well, I've got the local news, and it's all about politics, because as we know by now, unless you've been living under a rock the last 12 hours, one more state has fallen to, I think it's the government hands now, because I've lost count, so I think it's fallen into the government's hands, as it stands now.
Yes,
and a whole bunch of other news, which are obviously COVID-related and what have you.
Yeah, I think the NST's headline is something about new normal for schools. And reserve was something about resorts should recover faster than city hotels.
That's right. Form 6 students to return to school first. Only 17 students per class. That's good, you know. Etc., etc., etc.
Yes, and for sure, the most exciting news has been what the developments in Kedah, which we will be covering later during the morning brief that happens between 7 to 8 a.m. So be sure to stay tuned with us till then. But in the meantime, in the most current future that we are facing, the next half an hour, we're going to be talking about a lot of working from home things. So in about 10 minutes, we'll be diving into, are you spending too much time online? And what are some of your tips for unplugging? And I'm looking at the two of you. For advice here, sagely vintage advice here. And
what are you on about, Roshan?
I don't know.
Because he's a digital native, right? And he's referring to us because we are not digital natives.
Actually, that's true. I can't wait to ditch that damn thing. Can't wait, man.
So, in the meantime, we're going to talk about should work from home be a permanent option? Now, let us know what you think over on BFM Radio, at BFM Radio on Twitter, and drop us a message on WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanesan with Koo Soo Chuang and Noel Lim in the studio this morning. And that was Back in the Life Again by Steve Winwood, welcoming us back into the life of The Morning Run at 6 a.m. in the morning. I know we did it yesterday, but, you know, it was a nice way to reintroduce the song. Right now, actually, I want to talk about this. What we've seen over the last few weeks, and actually 2.5 months, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, something like that.
We've lost count
at this point. It's the fact that working from home has been accelerated, right? So this is some of the terms you see on Twitter is accelerated adoption, accelerated disruption, whatever you want to look at it. Working from home people have had to do it. And there are some companies who are saying, hey, you know what? We're going to be working to give their employees a bit of consistency. Facebook and Google were like, we're going to do this till the end of the year. And then Twitter comes out and says, hey, you know what? Even after the crisis, working from home is going to be an option, which is really changing the way, my favorite saying, the way we work and live. What do you guys think about this? Should working from home be an permanent option, Noel?
No.
See, I wanted to trick you a bit.
I see Chuang's mouth opening.
excuse me.
Because of Chuang?
Behave.
and your point of view is?
We should absolutely do it. Okay.
We are dying to know what it is.
We should do it, right? Because obviously, fewer cars on the road, fewer people in cities, less pollution, less congestion. More productive time, you know, less time spent in traffic jams and queues, waiting for your food, You can spend more time working, seeing your children, working out, getting a healthy lifestyle, all these kind of things, all that good stuff.
Well,
I think the upside of this is what you said, and it's just so much more convenient. You save a lot of money, right? And I think it's just the time pressure. You know, you can just get to work quite immediately.
Absolutely.
Right, at home. But you know, for me, who's like a professionally qualified introvert, I do find that coming to work does have its benefits. Like you get.
Do you have a certificate for that though? You can't call yourself a professionally
I'm sure
qualified.
I can get it on Coursera or something.
So you get a name card. Noah Lim, comma. International qualified
like
introvert.
So you know, I think we are all built to
socialize.
Social animals, right? Yeah. So I do like coming to work. Maybe like once or twice a week. That's doable. But having said that, I think technology companies like IBM, for example, Microsoft, they've done this for years.
Yes.
You know, allowing employees to work from home, because I mean, you can't call yourself a digital company if you don't have the tools to allow your employees to work from home.
And I think now more than ever, with the boom of Zoom. But not just Zoom, things like Microsoft Teams, Slack, the communication scene has become so much, it's so much easier to communicate. And yes, there are going to be teething hurdles, just as there were for texting, right? There's going to be etiquette that needs to become up, that needs to be formed, and it will develop over time. And although that said, there is a recognition, of course, that not all work can be done that way. So even Twitter is like, people who need to service the servers, you still need to come in live. Physically, you need to be here to do that. But as much as possible, if the people who can have the ability to remote from work are encouraged to do remote work, we could see less congestion on the streets. We could see less, more free time for employees to empower themselves as well. And just less like, I mean, also, there's always going to be this whole COVID-19 fear, I think, for until we have a vaccine. But it could be good. I mean, less congestion on the roads. This could be the way to, especially because I don't know how safe people are going to feel using public transport for a while.
So I'll see your boom, Zoom boom, and I'll raise you a woo flu, okay?
A woo flu.
So I think basically, right, the kind of people that can work from home are the highly, the people with higher value skill sets, right? So I want to recall some years ago, I spoke to the founder of WordPress. You know WordPress, the blogging platform, right? At the time, they had like a 400 staff workforce, right? Of which 380 were developers and programmers, right? They didn't work in the office. They worked in their separate geographies, 150 countries around the world, right? They only came together once a year in a region of the... So it could have been Colombo in Sri Lanka this year. It could have been Singapore next year. And then San Fran the year after that. They would come together once a year in HQ, 10 admin staff in San Francisco. And that's it. The rest of the staff all over the world dispersed. And there was no hierarchy. People were rewarded according to the amount of input and how productive they were. And they took turns in terms of management. So today you can be team leader, next year and someone else is team leader.
Yes, I think these processes can work. I think as long as you put in place some protocols, like how to communicate, you know, if there is conflict, how do you deal with it?
Yeah,
and another thing I want to say, people may not actually stay at home. I've met this family. They were traveling around the world. They were bringing their kids. The kids were on homeschooling, so they used online education. And the father was a developer, a programmer, and the mother was also like a programmer or a graphic artist. So they had that kind of job that allowed them to travel around the world. And the kids had a phenomenal education.
Phenomenal.
So I just want to read a quote from Jack Dorsey, right, the CEO of Twitter. He said, "The past few months have proven that we can make that work." He's talking about working from home. "So if our employees are in a role and situation that enables them to work from home and they want to continue to do so forever, we will make that happen." And I think that is really says everything that needs to be said about this topic. If you can, the last few months has shown whether you can do it or not. And I think everyone has to be honest about your ability. Some businesses can't do it, right? Some people maybe aren't so as suitable. But if you can, I think it should be. I think PNB has made this an option right now. Over the weekend, there was a bit of news on that.
A permanent option.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I mean, my better half can't wait for the children to leave the house and go back to school. They're driving her nuts.
Yes, I think school should be still a thing. That one, no working from home.
Is she saying the same for you as well?
Yes, but I'm not saying that on air. Or did I just say that on air?
All right, and on that lovely note right there, we'll be taking a look at some of the ways to unplug, especially with this, with working from home. One of the problems has been that drawing the line between working and leisure while you're at home. So stay tuned with us here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanesan with Chuang and Noel in the studio this morning. And that head-bobbing number, I guess, was Dress Up by The Regrets. And I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, because it's Regrets with a T-E-S at the end of the name. Now, let's talk about unplugging, because we talked about working from home a little earlier. One of the biggest hurdles, or one of the biggest issues I've heard from people who they can work from home, their work is, they can do it remotely, but disconnecting from the work has been difficult, and they end up just being online the entire day, perpetually connected, and that can bring along its own anxieties. So I'm asking for sage vintage advice here. Help me.
Help me. This digital
help me,
native.
Please.
I think the reason why people are getting stressed, spending so much time online, is about not knowing your boundaries. Where does work end? Where does leisure start? And what is leisure? So knowing your boundaries, that's important, having that sort of balance. I think for me, really, it's about just keeping very minimal apps on my phone. That's one. I don't answer uninvited video calls. That's two. And I see Chuang nodding his head. And then I'm also very selective in what sort of webinars and Zoom calls I want to do, right? So I think basically these are the three things that I'm looking at. But I think over time, people will just find that equilibrium as they work from home now.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it depends on your seniority and how valuable or not you are to the company. My only advice would be, if you are given whatever task you're supposed to do, do it as fast as possible and as well as possible. And then after that, log off, right? It's very simple. You just don't reply. You just go and do your thing. You want to go and meditate. You want to go and pray. You want to go and work out. You want to go and spend time with your kids. You go and walk on the beach with the dog if you want. But as long as your job is done and you're supposed to do, you've done what you're supposed to do, you're done. No one else can fault you for that.
So then this brings up the idea, I guess, of output versus time spent, right?
Absolutely. It's called productivity. pregnant silence.
Yes, of course. Yeah, it's like a strange word. Well, one way to actually track productivity is to keep a time sheet. So this hour, what do you do? And then you look back and you realize, oh my God, I spent so much time. And what did I do? Oh, WhatsApping and checking emails.
Yeah, absolutely.
In between writing maybe an essay or writing a paper or something.
Karamjit Singh, my friend at Digital News Asia, right? When he sits down to write a story, he sets aside 2 hours. He doesn't reply SMSs, doesn't reply WhatsApp, doesn't look at his email, doesn't do anything. Doesn't even talk to his wife, heaven forbid. You know, because his wife is, pretty hard going, right, for him. And he just does it full on, concentrated, like concentrated orange juice.
Like concentrated orange
concentrated
juice.
Orange
that's
juice.
A new saying.
Yeah.
But I think that's the thing, right? So it's that timesheet is something I actually do. But I do it on my calendar. I keep track of my day so that I kind of have an idea of what I've been doing. And there are some days where there's a chunk of time, let's say an hour and a half, which is just this one category. It's called email, administration, and pitches, right? So yeah. Like interview pitches. And sometimes it's crazy, mind-boggling how much time this all takes. Answering emails. I mean, we get reports after reports and stuff like that. We've got to filter through them. We've got to, then there's also administration. You've got to get little things done here and there.
I've discovered a way to block delete emails. After this, I'll show you.
Fantastic. Is it life hacks?
You mean
life
automatically
hacks?
Delete them
No, but there's a fast way of doing it.
The foldering?
You see how interested all you guys are. I've seen Noelle just delete my email without even reading it.
Yeah, with you looking at my screen at that time. Yes, of course, yeah. It shows how important you are.
I think that says enough about the dynamic in this room right now. But, having filters, great. I have filters for all sorts of things on my email. But, you know, when it comes to unplugging, I think one of the most important things I personally do is just taking that 1 hour off, throwing my phone in a corner, closing my laptop, and just hoping the world doesn't burn in that 1 hour. And knowing that I'm such a small fish in the world, you realize that, you know what? If anything happens, then it's just meant to be, lah. You know, if in that 1 hour the entire world comes to an end, then maybe it was just meant to be. Like, I should be able to clock out for that hour.
Yeah, I think if it's really important, somebody will be calling you.
Yeah,
really,
right. Who said someone we know said that once, right? Doesn't give a handphone, doesn't give email. If they want to find him, they can find him, right? I think it's a mutual friend of ours. I can't remember his name
Tan
right now.
Boo?
Maybe one
manager.
Of those girls. Yeah, maybe one of those guys.
and you've completely outed him on the radio. That's fantastic. Who needs enemies when friends? You get friends like this.
Friends, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, so unplugging is important because I've especially when you first start that, I had the tendency of just perpetually being on the laptop because there's always something else to do. And especially because you're at home, if your mind is in a bit of two ways about it, right? Part of you is like, oh, I'm at home, I'm relaxed, but you're really not because your mind is always on the dock, you're always on the emails, you're checking social media for the latest news. I mean, that's also the news world. So I found ways of just breaking it out. So after the show, taking that 1 hour and then go back to work for 3 hours and just breaking that out throughout the day. Oh, and then just turning everything off at 6 o'clock because yeah. I go to sleep at 8, 9 p.m.
Wow, you party animal, man, Roshan.
Oh, yeah, I'm just a massive party animal.
You
man.
Are a certified introvert.
Certified
you
introvert.
You rebel with a pause.
I haven't got my certification yet, Noel. I'm still working on that. I'm going to do a Coursera course, actually.
Yes.
So, fantastically, on that lovely note, we're going to be taking a look at international headlines after this. Always exciting to take a look at what's happening at the world outside of Malaysia. And if you've got any thoughts on anything that we've covered, let us know over on Twitter at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. But before all of that, the 6:30 a.m. news, and to take you there, Think I'm in Love by Beck. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Karnison with Noel Lim and Kusu Chuang in the studio this morning. And that was Electric Light Orchestra with Hold On Tight. Now, hold on tight because we are going into the international news segment. Highly exciting, highly anticipated every day of the week. Considering that we only started it 2 days, I'm going to go with that line there. Noel, what are you paying attention to on the international scene?
Yeah, Straits Times from Singapore. So some things on their homepage: lockdown in Manila extended to end May, whereas restrictions will be eased in other areas in the Philippines. And then looking at Indonesia, with limited access to birth control, Indonesia set to see a COVID-19 baby boom, apparently. And then also
COVID babies.
Yes, COVID-19 babies. So, and then another local news for Singapore: new high of 626 COVID-19 patients discharged. Thankfully, I think a number of these patients are quite young, so they don't have a secondary disease, chronic illness or anything, so they are fairly okay. And whereas there were two other men who died from other causes found to have had that virus. And another regional news, Taiwanese apparently prefer US over mainland China by nearly 2-1, according to the Pew survey. So Taiwanese apparently rated the US more favorably than mainland China by nearly 2-1 margin. Overall, just 35% of adults give positive marks to mainland China, while about 6 in 10 hold unfavorable views. And because, well, you know, the relationship between Taiwan and China can be quite testy. And also bear in mind, this survey is done by Pew, which, you know, friendly to the US.
And a nice little note there to end that. Just a little disclaimer at the end. Just keep
yes,
in mind.
Is.
Just keep
yes.
this in mind. Chuang, what are you paying attention to?
Well, internationally, the news, I'm focused on financial markets. Yesterday was the official Bitcoin halving, which is a momentous occasion if you're into that sort of thing. Everybody was looking to see what would happen to the price. It actually stayed within the range of $8,500 to $8,700 per Bitcoin. So what we know now is that now there's 18 million Bitcoins out there. The limit is 21 million, right? And they'll hit 21 million in 2140, which is over 100 years from now. And a lot of people, including Paul Tudor Jones, a very famous trader, billionaire trader, they have been buying Bitcoin because it's inherently deflationary, right? Because there's a limited, finite number of Bitcoins in the market, it cannot rise in price. It cannot have that asset inflation valuation that, you know, the US dollar can by way of the Fed printing, which is very important now because the Fed is printing like there's no tomorrow. I also saw this guy called Chamath Palihapitiya. He's the founder of Social Capital, this hedge fund VC, former Facebook guy. He's been warning about the dangers of the Fed's printing money like it's going out of fashion, $23 trillion now, combined central bank funds. And basically, he warns that there's going to be a couple of decades of Japan-like deflation, low growth and low prices if America doesn't stop what it's doing. And then I think the last one I wanted to point out is that Soc Gen, that very august French commodities and industrial economics bank from France, has shut down its oil and commodity trading desk. I think they're one of the victims of the Hin Leong trading debacle, where the owner lost something like $800 million in basically commodity losses and landed $4 billion in debt. So we know that Standard Chartered and HSBC have been reporting provisions of about $500 to $600 million just to cover the losses from Hin Leong. And Sok Chen has just closed their commodities desk because of Hin Leong. This could have been huge repercussions for the Pacific Rim.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. The minute you said Pacific Rim, I straight away went to the movie.
The movie, yeah. That's
right. Yeah, I'm just thinking about robots fighting kaiju now. but I've got the FT open in front of me. Actually, I quite like the FT, and it's one of the headlines here is the Democrats in Congress have released a plan for a $3 trillion plan for new stimulus spending that would help state and local governments through the pandemic, and this is something that we could see maybe $500 billion for state governments and $375 billion for local authorities that are struggling to balance increased costs and lower tax revenues, obviously triggered by the pandemic here. So I guess when it comes to, there is always this notion that you have to spend money, you have to support the economy, but you have to get the money from somewhere. And on the flip side, we have the Fed adding to its balance sheet more than it's ever been before. You keep printing money, and then you kind of have this confluence of things, right? And Bitcoin halving happens again, and to remind us why it was started 11 years ago in the wake of 2008 financial crisis, right?
I think a lot of people don't realize that the Federal Reserve has basically trespassed into unknown territory, because they are now underwriting. They've just gone past the moral hazard. They've taken on credit risk within their balance sheet. They've decided to underwrite all bonds in the market.
They're backstopping the bonds.
They're backstopping the bond market, right? And basically, they're buying up bonds of fallen angels, what they call investment grade high yield bonds, and they're just supporting companies that have been profiteering off the back of 10 years of easy money. It's insane, but it's happening in real time as we speak.
Yeah, it props up the stock market. It essentially props up the rich.
Props up the rich. It's crazy.
Yeah, and another thing, when we look at the pandemic, just on a health note, Singapore has rejected herd immunity as a strategy. This is one of the articles in one of the headlines in the fight against the coronavirus, saying it's too big a price to pay. Although Singapore has expanded its treatment capability, a herd immunity strategy could easily overwhelm it. And that's always the problem, right? You don't want the curve to spike to a point where your health infrastructure cannot cope with the cases you have. Now, we're going into a few messages, and when we come back, a look at the local side of things. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan with Noel and Chuang in the studio this morning. And that was Rosebud by US Girls. And right now, we're taking a look at the local side of news. And Chuang, what is popping up to you?
On the international news front or the
local? Let's take a look at the local. We've done international.
My head is elsewhere, clearly.
I mean, your head is in the news, Chuang. That's why you're engrossed in it.
Yeah, well, okay. So on the Star Biz, the main item is basically the fact that the Star has got this exclusive, what it says, story about the Q1 numbers, which are due out, I think, today or tomorrow. And they are saying that there's going to be a likely decline of 1.5% in Q1. And I mean, I obviously, because I've got access to the Bloomberg right in front of me, it does actually not say that there will be a decline of Q1 in the first quarter. It actually suggests that there's going to be a 1.5% appreciation in the first quarter. But there are some economists, including HSBC, which reckon there's going to be as much as, and HSBC, mind you, are the most pessimistic of all the economists. They reckon a 4.2% contraction, and in fact, 13% contraction in Q2. But the median average, according to Bloomberg, is for -2.6. So there it is. I've also got a couple other items. Malaysia Airport said that they saw a, get this right guys, 99% drop in passenger numbers in April, which made me then recall what the MAA, the car sales numbers, and that one of the lines in the press release saying that they actually expect zero car sales in the month of April. So that was how ugly it got. Then one more thing about this company called Key ASIC, right? This company, which is 2 cents in March 2020, has gone up to 12 cents. You know why? Because they said they have seen a surge in demand for their ventilator chips. So talk about thematic plays, right?
What about you, Noel? What's interesting? What are you in keeping an eye on in the local scene?
New Straits Times. So I think the big page, I guess, for the big news for parents, new normal for schools, especially if you have kids, I think, who are Form 5 and Form 6, they're returning to school. And okay, so on this page, as we know, there are changes in Kedah, right? Two MPs have switch their allegiance and they have decided to become independent candidates and pledging their loyalty to Bersatu and to Azmin Ali. So Sanusi Mat Noor appears to be the favourite candidate to become the new Menteri Besar. He's from PAS and he's a state assemblyman from Jenari. So he has apparently vast political experience and he was at one point the political secretary to a former Chief Minister Tan Sri Azizan. So, but of course, I think the final decision will depend on the Sultan of Kedah, according to sources who told the New Straits Times. So PAS at this point is keeping mum.
I just want to correct myself. I said that HSBC was the most negative for the first quarter. Actually, they're not. It's ING which was most negative, 4.2%. But HSBC reckoned a 13.3% contraction in Q2. Just want to, you know, fact check myself. Something which Donald Trump never does.
Yes, and you're not Donald Trump.
I'm not Donald Trump.
Yeah, so Harian Metro, only 16 cases yesterday, COVID-19. And sorry, chaps, you still cannot get your hair cut done properly.
So I have to wonder.
Barbers are still closed.
So you've opened up the second page of the Metro, right? And Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri's hair, it looks really good. I have to wonder where he gets his hair cut. How is he maintaining this?
So I read this news report. Apparently, VIPs and politicians have been requesting for barbers to go to their homes for a personal, a personal appointment. So there you go, VIPs will always have, you know, they march at a different beat.
Yeah, because my hair has had better days, and so has my beard. I've got the reserve, Malaysian Reserve, in front of me, and the headline they've gone with is, yes, they've got the politics on the right over there, but they reckon that resorts are set to recover faster than city hotels after the pandemic. I guess this is due to the fact that resorts are a bit further out and maybe a bit more isolated. So they've physically distanced themselves already from the masses. So hopefully that will... this report reckons that will recover faster than city hotels. But yeah, I guess this is the question we brought up before. Like to the two of you, I pose this question and to everyone listening. When will you be safe, feel safe to travel again?
Don't know lah. I mean, honestly, right? At least 6 months, maybe 9 months. Because even if I want to go back to Penang, right? The fear is that I'll pass something to to the elderly in the house.
Yeah, we may not have symptoms, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and I'm also like, even within the country, I'm just like, when will I feel safer to travel? But, you know, if it's a resort out in the middle of nowhere, maybe I feel a little bit safer. But I know I've never thought about this, so now I'm thinking about it. But speaking of the politics, so the Priyagata National, the news around in Kedah, we'll actually be covering that at 7:45 and in about an hour with Professor James Chin, Director of the Asia Institute at the at the University of Tasmania. So if you're keen and interested in that topic, you should join us at 7:45. Right now, we are going into a few messages. And when we come back, a look at world markets with Jacuzzi, as well as, and before that, the 7 a.m. news bulletin. That's what we're going into. And to take you there, All Star by Smash Mouth. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.